Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from today's Holy Gospel found in John 16. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. This is God's word. I want to thank all of you for bearing with all 10 stanzas of Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice. I confess to you that if we had been doing this service in the church and there had been Holy Communion, we would not have sung all 10 stanzas at one time. We would have broken it up into two parts, or we would have only sung like four of them. But I took the liberty to sing this great Martin Luther hymn all at once, and I hope you made it through. And if you weren't able to sing along, just at least listen. Today, I want to share with you that we are a Spirit-filled church. It's not because the pastor sings so nicely on those verses of Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice. It's not because of how we've handled this pandemic, which continues to go on. I think we've gotten by okay. We're still here, hearing God's word, singing praises to him, giving food to the people in need. Great things happening at a time like this. It's not why we're a Spirit-filled church. I'm going to explain why we are. Maybe you've heard me say this story before. The story's told of a pastor, and I've probably used this in a sermon before. The story's told about a pastor who was greeting people after they leave the service. And one of his regular members comes out and says, "Pastor, what a great service! Oh, it was so Spirit-filled. You could feel the Holy Spirit in this place." Then a few people later, a first-time visitor comes out, and the pastor shakes his hand and says, "Oh, tell me, what'd you think of the service?" And he says, "Pastor, you know, if I'm being honest, you know, not to be rude or anything, I just really didn't feel the Spirit moving in this place." See, what we often do is we connect the Holy Spirit with our emotions. And that is a very, very dangerous thing to do. If the music is really done well and it's a great experience, oh, we say the Spirit filled that place, the Spirit was moving. Or if the preacher's really super dynamic and, oh, he just captivates our attention, oh, he must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or if we leave church on Sunday morning and we just feel a warmth in our heart and feel upbeat and ready to tackle the world we face that coming week, oh, we must be filled with the Spirit. I think one of the problems we have is we Lutherans, we don't know how to talk about the Holy Spirit. We can talk about Jesus, right? We can talk about Jesus on the cross. I mean, you go into a Lutheran church, you've got the cross everywhere. I got a cross around my neck. There's a cross right here. There's crosses on the building, on the signs. Jesus we can do. The Holy Spirit, we don't really know how to talk about. But you know what? That's really the point. Consider what Jesus says in our gospel today from John 16, where he says, "He, the Helper, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit," Jesus is speaking of, "He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." You see, the work of the Holy Spirit is to point people to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one that kind of gets left out in our talk and dialogue as Christians, but we shouldn't, for any reason, let that lead us to believe that somehow the Holy Spirit is forgotten or not there. We talk about the Father all the time. I mean, we pray, our Father who art in heaven, right? It's the prayer every one of us knows, every child. It's the first prayer they learn to say, maybe after, come Lord Jesus. You know, Jesus, we talk about his cross, his death, his resurrection. The Spirit glorifies the Son. The Spirit points people to Jesus. He will glorify me, Jesus says. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. What is a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit? It's the church that declares to its people what Jesus has done. He takes what is mine and declares it to you. Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection, Jesus' victory over sin, Jesus' promise to come again to give eternal life. That is what the Spirit does. That is what we ought to look for in the church. And that is what we ought to strive to be. That's been one of the biggest challenges for us at this time, is how do we keep our focus on Jesus Christ, his love for us, his death for us, his resurrection for us, his promise to come again with us, when we're so hamstrung by what we can do. What we need to be on guard against, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and this is something we're probably more prone to than we realize. We should never look for a wordless spirit. Here's what I mean by that. The only place you should look for the Holy Spirit is in the Word of God. Hearing it, reading it, and when the opportunity affords itself, eating it and drinking it. It is John's gospel, after all, from which our text comes this morning, where Jesus refers to himself as, John refers to him as the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, the Word that is God, John chapter 1. Jesus tells us in our text today, and I read this verse at the beginning, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Holy Spirit does not speak to us apart from the Word of God. You might be saying, but doesn't that limit God, limit the Holy Spirit? We tend to think of the Spirit as this thing. Well, the word Spirit, after all, it does mean breath, wind, the words that are used in both Hebrew and Greek. We picture it as being like that wind blowing on Pentecost. We wonder, you know, the wind, you can't see it, but you feel it. You know it's there. And so we associate the Spirit with feelings. But what did that Spirit on Pentecost do? It led the apostles to speak. To speak about Jesus and what he had done. The Spirit worked through the Word. There are probably in some of our homes a few books, things passing themselves off as devotional material from people who claimed they felt the Spirit moving. But if you want to know where the Holy Spirit is, sit down, open your Bible, and look for Jesus. Because that's what the Spirit does. He glorifies the Son. He glorifies and points to what Jesus did for you. Proclaims to you, dear friends in Christ, that Jesus has died for you. He has risen to life for you. Alleluia. He will come again for you. And eternal life is yours. Thanks be to God. And that message is found all over the pages of Holy Scripture. I had a seminary professor who used to warn us when we were learning the original languages, Greek and Hebrew. I don't know them very well. I can do some translating with them. I can look up things on my computer. I don't speak Greek or Hebrew, but I know a little bit. But he used to remind us when we're reading our Bible, and this is good advice for every single Christian, not just pastors, to keep your head in your Bible. To keep yourself from having those aha moments where you pull your head up from your Bible and say, aha, I know what God is saying here, but rather keep your head in those words. Keep looking at it. Keep reading. Because in that word, you find the Spirit of truth. Jesus has told us he will not speak on his own authority. He says he will declare to you the things that are to come. What was Jesus talking about? He was talking about his death and resurrection. The birth of the church, the giving of the Holy Spirit. Those things that were about to happen after Jesus went to his cross. The Holy Spirit declares what Jesus has done. That's what a Spirit-filled church is, dear friends in Christ. The church that proclaims Jesus crucified, resurrected, ascended, and coming again for you. Or as Jesus put it in our text today, he will convict the world concerning sin because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness because I go to the Father. Concerning judgment because the ruler of this world is judge. The word of God, that Spirit-filled word, convicts you about sin. That word proclaims law, which shows you that you are a sinner. Every single one of you and me in here, we are a gathering of sinners in this place today. God's word has revealed it and convicted us. But yet that word also proclaims righteousness because Jesus goes to the Father. The one into whom we are baptized, the one who has risen for us, he is at the Father's right hand. We are baptized into the one who is before the Father. And because he is righteous, we are righteous. That word convicts concerning judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. That word proclaims to you, Satan is defeated. Death is no more. The devil has no power over us because he's been judged. Because Jesus lives and lives forevermore, and we live in him. You see, wherever that word is proclaimed, the Spirit's at work. Even if the pastor's a bum, even if his sermon is making you fall asleep this morning in your cars, and that's, I've got to tell you, that's one of the things that's been hard for me. I can't see which of you are sleeping during the service now. Probably not too many. You guys are usually pretty alert on Sunday morning. You know, just because a preacher's voice might be boring and drone on doesn't mean he doesn't have a Spirit-filled word. Just because the hymns are old and they've been sung for 500 years, like dear Christians, one and all rejoice, doesn't mean that church doesn't have the Spirit. Wherever that word is proclaimed, that points to Jesus, that's where the Spirit is. You know, we Lutherans, we don't have a claim on that as though we're the only ones. that have the Holy Spirit? The Baptists and the Catholics and the Presbyterians and the Assemblies of God and all the other churches around us, whenever they proclaim God's word that points to Jesus, they are Spirit-filled churches as well. We seek above all things to hold faithful to that word, to hear of Jesus who dies for sinners, who comes again for sinners, who gives us life eternal. Because in that word, the word convicting us of sin and righteousness and judgment, the word that glorifies Jesus, in that word, the Spirit dwells. The Spirit is with us. The Spirit fills us. I was going to talk a little more about this after the service, but I'll go ahead and bring it up now, and I can share a few more things after we're done. Our plan had been prior to Thursday to reopen the church next Sunday and do services inside with Holy Communion while still also offering a drive-in service. We decided to wait on that. Our stay-at-home order, the safer-at-home order from Governor Whitmer, now goes through May 28th. So we made the difficult decision to wait a little longer, which means the first Sunday we would be able to get back in the church would be Pentecost. Pentecost is the birth of the church. Jesus sends his Holy Spirit to the 12 to preach, to speak, to deliver the word, to deliver the Spirit to those who hear it. I started looking at that calendar and realizing it's going to be at least Pentecost until we get back in the church. I couldn't help but think, boy, on that day when we celebrate the birth of the church, wouldn't it be great to have a rebirth, a recommitment to being able to gather around word and sacrament? But then I kind of kicked myself and remembered the word's not been silenced. The Spirit still dwells and moves in his church because Jesus is still risen. He still lives, and his word is still proclaimed. And so wherever we are this morning, wherever his church gathers, whether it's here in the parking lot at 420 West Brighting, whether it's sitting in your home on Facebook, whether it's in other churches gathering throughout our community and state and world, wherever that word is, Spirit is. Wherever that word is, Jesus is. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's not an experience. It's there. Even if you've forgotten that. Dear friends in Jesus, be filled with the Spirit. Do that by hearing the word, reading the word, dwelling in the word, meditating on the word, fixing your eyes, as the writer to the Hebrews tell us to do, on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Because when our eyes are fixed on Jesus and his work for us, then we know the Spirit dwells among us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.